Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he had said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for tax." And they brought Jesus a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, "Whose head is on this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left Jesus and went away. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a joy to be with you here this Sunday. I had missed the last two Sundays, and I really missed your company. I missed worshiping with you, and I missed what we share here together. So I figured there is no quicker way to make you hate me than to talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this morning. Whatever goodwill I just might have earned, I probably lost there. The history of the Rough Riders is an interesting history. The Rough Riders were actually known as the Regina Rugby Club, formed in 1911. They were a local rugby club team. In 1919, the Canadian Football League was formed, and what became the Saskatchewan Rough Riders were a charter member of that new league. The CFL is almost 100 years old. Predominantly, the CFL has been an 8-team league. Over these last 100 years, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have won how many Grey Cups? Four. In an 8-team league. Basic math says they should have won somewhere around 12 at least. They've won four. Needless to say that their win-loss record, their success record, has not always been stellar. In fact, I remember my family, believe it or not, had season tickets to the Riders in the 1980s. And if we couldn't make a game, I remember my father on the telephone, and he couldn't give tickets away. Nobody wanted to go to the games. Nobody cared about them. The field, Taylor Field, was half empty. In fact, things were so poor for the Riders financially, and some people here might remember this in the late 80s, they actually had to have a telethon to raise money just to make enough to pay the players. Anybody here remember the telethon? They actually had a telethon. Like Telemiracle, ring those phones to play our players. Is this the Rough Riders that we know today? The sold out season tickets, expanding stadiums, cheering fans, watermelons on head? No. So what happened? Are they more winning now? No. That's not the case. And wait till this evening and you can phone me and tell me I'm right. But something happened in the Riders. In the late 90s, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who were faced with bankruptcy and insolvency, hired a marketing agency. And they said to the marketing agency, "What can we do? Fans aren't coming, merchandise isn't selling, people aren't excited about us, we can't pay our bills. What can we do to inspire?" The marketing agency said, "Your problem is you've made it about football. You've made it about your wins and your losses. You've made it about your Grey Cups. You've made it about the excitement of games when you get blown out by 40 points and people don't care." The marketing agency said, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders said, "Change how you do things. Don't make the Riders about football. Make the Riders about experience. Make going to a game not about whether the Riders win or lose, but make going to a game about the excitement of the fans themselves." So billboards started being formed. Billboards that advertised Saskatchewan Rough Riders had no Rough Riders on the billboards. They had a sea of 100 fans wearing fruit on their heads with their faces painted, yelling out loud, their arms in the air in victory. Then they coined the term Rider Pride. The fans were now part of it. It was their pride, it was their success, it was something that Saskatchewan shared together. But what really launched the Riders was the thing that they feared the most, television. For decades, Rider games were blacked out in Saskatchewan. The administration of the Riders said, who would ever pay to go to a football game if you could watch it at home for free on the CBC? Then TSN signed a contract with the CFL and said there would be no more blackouts. And the Rider managers started pulling their hair out. What are we going to do? How are we going to get people to the stadium? And all of a sudden, games started selling out, even though they were broadcast on TSN. Even though you could sit at home on Sunday afternoon and watch the football game, you would drive 8 hours round trip to Regina to see the Riders play. You would spend $350 to take your kids to a game, even though you could watch it for free in the comfort of your Barker lounger. And why? Because all of a sudden, the Riders became a shared experience. This was not just a game that 35,000 fans at Taylor Field watched. This was a game that was shared by over 500,000 fans in Saskatchewan. You could go to McDonald's for coffee the next morning on Monday, and you could talk about the game. The quarterback, the running back, the referees, whatever it may be, you now shared an experience with your neighbor. You no longer had to drive to Regina to have Rider pride. All of a sudden, the Regina Rough Riders really became the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We could share in their victories. We could mourn their losses. We could complain with our brothers and sisters in the province and now around the world because these games are on television. Taylor Field sells out. Not because they win or lose, but because people want to go to Taylor Field. They want to be part of the Rider pride. They want to be part of the energy. They want to say, yeah, I went to a game. They want to watch it on TV and say, hey, those were my seats when I drove down to Regina. They want to know the smells and the sounds and the physicality of the stadium because they want to share in something even more deeply. That marketing agency was right. The minute the Rider stopped selling football, they stopped selling wins over losses was the minute that they took off because they started selling experience. Win or lose, you are a Riders fan. Win or lose, you will wear your Rider sweatshirt. Win or lose, there will be a Rider license plate on your car. Win or lose, there will be a Rider flag in front of your house. Because it's the experience. We win together. We lose together, but we are always together. It's not just the men on the field. It's all of us. We are Rider Nation. We are Rider Pride. We are Rider fans. And this is awesome. Think about what's transformed and what's happened. From being bankrupt in the late 80s, not being able to sell season tickets, an empty stadium, to now building a new stadium, people traveling 12 hours round trip to go to games, merchandising stores just devoted to the Rough Riders in our larger centers, radio shows hours long devoted to them. All because it became an experience. And as human beings, this is what we want to do. We want to share an experience. Why are television shows popular? Because we can watch them and talk to others about them. And so it becomes an experience. Oprah's book club is popular, not because they're great books, but because we can share in a larger experience. The hot, trendy restaurant is popular, not because their food is better than everybody else's, but then we can talk about it and share experience. But what about church? What about faith? What we do here, what we live out in the world, is meant to be hinged on experience. But often it's simply a set of ideals that we commit to. I believe. But do you experience? If I were to go to someone and say, are you a Christian? They might say yes, but I'll say, have you ever experienced the risen Lord in your life? And they might look at me with a stare. And if we live lives like that, we're really missing out on the power of God. Today in our Old Testament reading from Exodus, Moses goes to God, not God to Moses. Moses goes to God and say, God, I know you've called us to all these new and wonderful things. But Moses says, here's the thing, God. Unless you promise to walk with us and teach us and be with us and love us and correct us every step of the journey. We can't do it. If you simply say you need to go from here to there, God, we can't do it. We need you with us. St. Paul writes to the people in Thessalonica and says, look, I know that God loves you. I know that God is present in your lives. Because when I came there, when we came there, we preached the gospel and you accepted it. But guess what? Paul goes on to say, you also experienced the power of the Lord in your lives. This is head and heart stuff. Yes, we have a statement of belief. Yes, we subscribe to the creeds. Yes, we indoctrinate ourselves in the Bible. Yes, we testify to things. But we are also called to experience things as well. Love is not simply a matter of the mind. Charity is not simply a matter of the mind. Forgiveness is not simply a matter of the mind. But this is the sign of the Holy Spirit's presence with us. We are called to have God not simply as a mental construct in our lives, but as a compassionate, abiding presence in our daily existence. I don't just love my wife, Laura Lee, mentally. I don't just love her because she's the mother of my children. I don't just love her because she helps with her share of household duties. Thanks for that laundry yesterday, by the way. I love her because I feel love with her. I feel compassion with her. I've experienced grace with her. I've experienced forgiveness with her. I've experienced hope with her. And it is this experience that's at the heart of love. This is how we choose partners. We don't line people up and find the most attractive person that'll date us. We don't line people up and find the richest person that'll date us. We don't line people up and find the best homemaker that'll date us. We fall in love with people. We don't know why, but we experience growth with one another. This is true with our relationship with God. We are called to experience the living Lord in our lives. And how do we do that? We ask for it. Do we pray and ask God to be involved in our daily existence? If we keep God just in our head, just a set of idea, just a statement of belief, just a system of philosophy, then we'll never find God in our hearts. So we're going to do something today. We're going to gather, just like we are now. We're going to pray that God makes God's self visible to us. And I want you, it'll be anonymous, send me an email, give me a telephone call, leave a note under my door, tell me how God has made himself visible to you in these next 6 days. I want to share this next Sunday. It'll be anonymous, I won't put a name to it, you don't got to give me hard and fast concrete details. Just let me know, because I know if we pray, if we ask God to be present in our lives, in our families, in our places of employment, in our decisions, in our health, in the world around us, God will be there. Our calling then, after we ask for something, is to expect it to happen. Look around, see God at work. Feel the presence of God. Sound fair? Oh well. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, as we are here this morning, we thank you for this time that we share together. We thank you not only for your holy word that inspires us, that leads us, that corrects us, that gives us meaning. We thank you for our presence in our lives and in our world. We thank you for the gift of your risen Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that you have planted in our hearts and in our beings, in our families, and in our world. And now, Lord, as we gather here today, we want to deepen our relationship with you. We want to more clearly see your presence and your form and your love and your grace and forgiveness in our world, in our families, and in our lives. God, we pray that you will make yourself, that you will make yourself present, that you will make the gifts of your Spirit present, that you'll be present in our health. You'll be present with doctors and nurses and those who care for us and those who love us. We pray that you'll show us new opportunities for healing and growth. God, we pray that you'll be present in our professional lives. May you make your Spirit known in our places of work, amongst our co-workers, in decisions we have to make, and ultimately in their results. Help open our eyes to your presence, not only in our places of employment, but also in our families. We pray for mothers and fathers and those who struggle. We pray for children and students and grandparents. We ask that you be present in relationships, that you build up grace and love, that you give wisdom to those who make decisions, that you give energy, new opportunities and friendships to children and classmates. Lord, make yourselves present in our home. And Lord, we ask in our world that your presence be seen as well, that you work to heal those who are sick, that you be with the outcasts, that you work through our hands and through our feet and through our voices to share the gifts that you have so richly given us. God, we come recognizing that you are not simply a statement of belief, but that you are a present and risen Lord in our lives. Like St. Paul, who had a transformation, we pray the scales will fall away from us, that we will see you fully involved in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, in our places of employment, and in our world. Help us to celebrate your presence. Help us to grow more deeply in our love, in our compassion, and in our knowledge of your blessing in our life. As we continue now, Lord, we ask for your peace. We ask for a future with great hope. We ask for a future with great excitement and great opportunity. But most importantly, we ask for a future that more fully reveals your presence in our lives. All this we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.